As we begin the new year, we will be transitioning from the letters to Thessalonians to Timothy. And yet this morning, I feel that it would be appropriate to read a portion of Hebrews 3 together. So Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more glory than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways, as I swore in my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Second Thessalonians 3:11-12. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And 1 Timothy 1, 5-7. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. With the new year, we are in the transition from Paul's letters to the church at Thessalonica and into his letter to Timothy. What is interesting is that we end and begin with basically the same admonition of the Apostle Paul. One is to the church itself, and the other is to a pastor overseeing a church or many churches. The concern, however, is the same. If you will recall from our last consideration of 2 Thessalonians, we were looking at the manner in which Paul uses admonition and the need for admonition. We have just read one of the greatest admonitions in the Scripture from the Holy Spirit, to not harden our hearts, to listen, to hear when he speaks to us. It is one of the means that God uses in order to make us realize that something in our life is not pleasing to him. Please remember that any admonition must be taken before the Lord first and primarily in order to validate it. Then if we receive the go-ahead from God, we are to deliver it with the single purpose of encouraging a willing and loving response to God and His Word. Admonitions must always be absolutely in line with the Word of God and always lead to a greater establishment of our relationship with God and with each other in the church. If that is not the purpose, it is not a true and valid admonition. As well, realize, please realize, that we are not the ones to determine whether admonition needs to be applied in any situation. That is and must be completely from the Lord, and only after urgent and continuous and loving prayer on behalf of the Lord's glory in the admonished one. This is being stressed because, as I indicated, there is an admonition that the Apostle Paul knew he had to deliver for the express purpose of bringing to the forefront of the church's understanding the destructive nature of gossip, of being a busybody, of fruitlessly discussing things that only distract and destroy. It is absolutely vital to understand that being a gossip, a busybody, is an inherently divisive and destructive movement and undercurrent within a church. Please understand, this is not unique to just the church. Anywhere gossip and busybodies operate, at school, at work, at home, between friends and family, there is nothing but ruin. We are, however, looking at it from the perspective of being God's people focused upon Him and His glory. As such, we must be constantly on guard against any inclination to seek after and to spread any false, malicious, and harmful disinformation. We must not participate in slinging slander and spite at our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul specifically addresses this concern for the welfare of the church later in 1 Timothy 5:13, as he is talking about dealing with members of the church. And at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Things not proper to mention. Idle and gossiping. Talking behind others' backs. Discussing the things about others that should only be diligently and earnestly kept in prayer before the Lord. Casting forth entrusted concerns and Christian confidences as bits of gossip and slander into the muck and mire of this world. We complain and we voice our discontent to others rather than seeking the Lord's guidance as to why we allow that discontent to fester within us. The Apostle Paul is not alone with this grave concern. The Apostle Peter gives us an indication of the vileness of this gossip as he lists some of the things that cannot be tolerated within the Christian community. 1 Peter 4:15 and 16. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. Did you notice? Lumped in with murder, theft, and evil is the troublesome meddler. This is such a serious concern that it is considered in the same sense as someone who murders or steals or does evil. It is not a small thing unto the Lord because of its sadly vile effects within the church. That is why there are so many hard and rigid admonitions against it. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, we read, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is a positive encouragement of building up the church, of heartening the brothers and sisters in Christ. These characteristics are the exact opposite of a busybody or a gossip. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, love, unity, and peace. Paul continues later in the same chapter, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. He lists the characteristics of a gossip or busybody. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander. These have absolutely no place within the life of a Christian, within the church created by the love of God in Jesus Christ. These things are to be put away and not even mentioned in connection with the character of one whose life has been purchased at the inestimable price of the blood of Jesus Christ. As Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, concerning the manner in which to deal with the members of the church, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. We are not to malign anyone, nor are we to be in any manner contentious. There is no way that any gossip can or ever will be upbuilding. The entire intent of gossip, from one lip to another's ear, is to tear down, to malign, and to express discontentment in hope of finding someone else in whom to spread that same contentious attitude. James cuts directly to the very heart of the matter in James 3, 5 through 8. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. James is very specific as to the danger of gossip. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. It is truly a toxic poison that works to adulterate one's mind against another. It will spread its vile corruption until it has devastated all that once was beautiful and pure before the Lord. It is no wonder that God has given numerous admonitions against the evil practice of gossip and slander. Psalms 50, verses 16 through 20. But to the wicked God says, "What right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline. You cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loosen evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son." There is another severe admonition in Psalms 101, verses 5 and 6. "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me." Notice that the Lord says he will destroy the secret slanderer. He does not take this malicious activity lightly. He stands against it with all his force. The prophet Jeremiah realized this as he was given the word of the Lord as recorded in Jeremiah 9, 2 through 5. "Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them. For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. And everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves in committing iniquity." The course of the slander is delineated in this passage. They go from evil to evil. Note, they do not go from bad to worse. The emphasis is that they are already evil and that they continue in that evil practice. And that indicates a lack of the true knowledge of the Lord. One who knows the reality of Jesus Christ cannot participate in such activity. Neither can one condone or turn a blind eye to it. It needs to be recognized for the iniquity that it is and taken before the Lord in contriteness and humility to seek His forgiveness. In one more admonition, the Apostle Paul writes the following to the church in Rome. He is showing what once was true of us without Christ in our lives. Romans 1, 28 through 32. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is quite a list of evil doing and evil intent, with gossip and slander listed in the very center of it. Thank the Lord that we have been pulled out of that quagmire by His grace through Jesus Christ. God has given His word concerning our new position in Him and the manner in which we are now to live in His presence of holiness. Psalms 15, verses 1 through 3. O Lord, who may abide in Thy tent? Who may dwell on Thy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Because we do dwell in the presence of the Lord, our heart's desire is to walk with integrity and in righteousness. We are the bearers of the truth, of life in Jesus Christ. That is our characteristic of behavior and our manner of dealing with others. Again, the Apostle Peter writes, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Because we have tasted His kindness, we are to grow in that desire for the Word of the Lord to be more and more perfectly reflected in these lives that we live. No, we're not perfect in our flesh, but we are perfect in our spirits before God through Jesus Christ. In His perfection, we deal with our brothers and sisters in the same love with which He has loved us and loves us today. Peter concludes our consideration of this admonition to not be busybodies and slanderers in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We have been called to inherit a blessing from God, not a curse. We are blessed to the fullest in Jesus Christ. Sadly, when we become a busybody, when we give ourselves over to gossip and slander, we lose that blessing in our lives. Rather than living in the joy of the Lord, we place ourselves into a prison of resentment and discontentment. Heed this admonition against speaking forth malice with a tongue of poison. As members of Christ's body, do not participate in slander or gossip or spreading discontent and complaints. Rather, encourage one another to leave all that behind and simply follow the Lord as He directs, guides, and blesses in His holiness. Instead of destroying with gossip and maliciousness, we are to build each other up in the love of God in order to bring more and more glory to His name in Jesus Christ. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Amen.